Warm welcome to you again. In the name of Jesus.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if I told you who I am at the beginning of the service. My name's Daniel. I work here full-time at North Bradley Baptist Church. It's great to see you all here. We've been having a sermon series in our evening services recently called What Kind of King, or The Kind of King I Am. The Kind of King I Am. And in the passage that I'm going to read to you from the Bible, from the book of 2 Samuel, we see a king, and the series that we've been having on The Kind of King I Am has been in 2 Samuel. And we get to the point where God promises to King David the kind of kingdom that he is going to have. Okay? One day, David is kicking back in his palace, and he thinks, I've got it kind of good. I'm in a palace, but my God lives in a tent. That wouldn't do. So David had in mind to build a house for God. Now listen to the reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all the places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words, and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Well, what do you know? What do you know? If you're walking along the street one day, it's been raining as it has been today, you're on the pavement, the road runs alongside you, Someone comes along rather quickly in their car. There's a puddle on the road. They drive through the puddle just as you're walking alongside it, and splash! You're covered in water. Muddy, dirty water. Now, do you say to yourself at that point, I'm so glad that today is working out just the way I intended? The laughter says it all. No, you don't, do you? That's not what you say. You're at school. Kids in the playground this day have been unkind, bullying, calling you names. It hasn't been pleasant. When you get home after home time, do you, as you are going through the events of the day with your parents, say, you know what? I'm so glad there are bullies at my school. They make me feel so warm inside. Today is working out just as it should. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Now, I used to be a plumber in South London, and I knew a couple who bought themselves a fine house overlooking a park in London. And the day that they, what do they do? What do you do? What's the final step if you're buying a house? Is it completion? Yeah, they completed. On the day that they completed, they went, they picked up the keys. It was a December day. It had been a really cold snap. It had been really cold. But that day, the sun was just giving a bit more warmth. What a wonderful day to complete on your house. So they picked up the keys and they went out for a slap-up meal. Everyone was happy. What could go wrong? Now, when they came back to the house, what they didn't realize was that during that cold snap, one of the pipes in the loft had frozen solid. And you know what happens? Do you know what happens to water when it freezes? It expands. And so the water had expanded by about 10% in this pipe, which was already under pressure, and the pipe had split. But at the point when the pipe split, the water was frozen inside it, yeah? But when the warm day comes along, that fine day when you complete on your house, yeah? You go out for your meal, you come back, and the thawing process is taking place. They walk into the front door, and their house has become a walk-in shower of cold mains water. Ceilings have come down. Floors need replacing. Walls need replastering. Now, time can be a great healer, right? So a few years later, it was at a Christmas service, and I saw this couple, and I was with my wife, and we were hobnobbing after the service, and was talking about this time when they'd had that fateful day when they completed on their house. And I thought, well, we'll laugh with them about it. So we were laughing together. And then I realized, oops, we were laughing. That is, my wife and I, but they weren't laughing. Now, this is a few years after that event. So the memory of it was still sore. And we quickly changed the subject. What do you know? You know that all in the world is not as it should be. You know that. We all know that. That's why we don't say everything as it should be is as it should be when we're covered in muddy water, when that car's driven past on the road. We don't say that. Now, what the Bible then tells us is what we need to know, okay? And what we need to know is that the reason for why the world isn't all as it should be is because of this thing that we've been talking about since the beginning of the service, sin. It's what we've been confessing from the front during that prayer. Sin. Now, it wouldn't be altogether accurate, would it, if I was sort of saying to myself, well, yeah, I know there's sin in the world. It's those suckers who drove along too close to me in the car that day and splashed me with water. Or those cruel kids in the playground who were bullying me. Or who are you going to blame when the mains water pipe bursts? Or maybe you could blame the plumber who didn't lag the pipe properly or something like that. Somebody else. But what you need to know is that sin is also a problem in your heart, my heart. That's what the Bible is saying. Look, you need to know this. You need to know this. Now, the reading that we had from 2 Samuel chapter 7, would you believe it? David, this is about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, okay, in the manger, in the animal feeding trough. About 1,000 years before he's born, King David, he's defeated all his enemies with the aid of his God. Everything is going great. But not 3 chapters after that reading, do you know what he's doing? David's got about 6 plus wives, okay? He's got a lot of wives. He steals another man's wife who only had one wife, which is kind of the way it should be, right? He only had one wife. David stole his wife. She became pregnant. And in order to cover up, like a fig leaf, you know, sort of hiding away from that sin, he decided to put this woman's husband on the front line of battle when the enemy came knocking to try and conquer God's people. David put that guy on the front line. Why? So that he would die in battle. So that the evidence, or him finding out anyway, would be concealed. That was dark. This king, sinner, just like you, just like me. The greatest of us, the smallest among us, we've all got it. And actually, interestingly, the way to not be a finger pointer in this world and a humble person in this world, and humility is an attractive trait, is to recognize our own faults. Now, God made some promises to David, okay? And I've sort of summarized them in this way. No more enemies rubbing your nose in the dirt. No more of that, David. No more here today, gone tomorrow. So we'd had the period of the judges of Israel, God's people. And when the Lord raised up a judge, things were great. When the judge died, things went back to how they were, and sometimes even worse. No more of that. This is going to be a dynasty. I'm going to make you a house, David. Your name is going to continue. Your kingdom is going to continue. There's going to be a king on your throne forever. No more here today, gone tomorrow. Great. And it's going to be permanent. Permanent loving presence. You know that house that David was talking about? I'm in a palace and my God's in a tent. The tent was symbolic of God's presence dwelling with his people. Okay? And I'm praying that you will know the presence of Jesus here today. That you'll know it deep down in your soul. And then it will change you. And God is saying, I'm going to be there permanently. And the reign of this king, who's always going to be on your throne, is going to be characterized by perfect justice. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? Perfect justice. Except that, would you believe it? There's a problem. There's a problem. That's promises, but there's a problem. Okay? David's son, Solomon, true to the promise of God, did build a stonking house for God's name to dwell in. Solomon. David had drawn up some plans. Solomon carried them out. Solomon had more wives than David and concubines, which is like half wives, which is not advisable. Solomon had been given wisdom, but he didn't have to do some foolish things as well. And one of the things that happened was that he got carried off to worshipping the gods of the nations from which some of his wives came. And some of those gods liked it if you sacrificed your own children to worship them. That's dark. That's not good. There's a problem with that. So how are we doing with the problem? The enemies have got lots of dirt to dig up on Israel. And it gets worse after Solomon. The kingdom gets split. In fact, it gets so bad that God's people get carried out of the land of Israel and off to places like Babylon. The kingdom was here one day and gone the next. Where was the loving presence of God? You know, when the people got carried off, this was around 580 years before Jesus arrived on the scene. People got carried off to a foreign country where they spoke a different language, and the house of God, that temple that Solomon had built, got destroyed. Gone. Where's the loving presence of God? Where's the temple? And we don't even need to start talking about perfect justice. There's a deep, deep problem. That is until Jesus arrives on the scene. Okay? Until Jesus arrives on the scene. Now here's the thing. Remember what I said. We need to know that we are sinners. But we also need to know the kind of king Jesus is. And the kind of king Jesus is the kind of king who deals with our sin. Jesus is a great king. He deals with sin. Jesus will not rub your nose in the dirt of your sin. You know, I was in London one time and I was on a summer fete, and the church that I was attending, we were running a stall at the summer fete and we were handing out some Christian literature, and I approached a woman who was a plumbing customer of mine, and I said, "Would you like to take one of these?" And she said, no, thank you, not really interested in Christian things. I mean, I'm sure you'll tell me how bad I am and that kind of thing. And actually, she was right. I guess I would have told her how bad she was, but I would have told her how bad I am too. I would have told her that as a plumbing contractor, I didn't always pay my subcontractors on time. You know why? Because I was more concerned about the bread on my table than the bread on theirs. Because I got that selfishness thing too. I don't feel good about that. I did pay them, but not always on time. But the reason why God wants to tell us how sinful we are, how dark our hearts can be, is so that he can help us with that. Save us from that. Wash that dirt clean off us. In the death of his son Jesus, who came to that animal feeding trough in order to die on a cross. For your sins, for my sins, if we put our trust in him today. And today is an opportunity to do just that. That's why Christmas is a special time of year. And with Jesus, there's no here today, gone tomorrow. It looked like when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was here today. We enjoyed his ministry among us, his service among us for a few years. But before it's even properly got going and the Roman Empire has been toppled by him, he's dying on a cross, with Roman soldiers putting spears in his sides. Looks like it was here today, gone tomorrow. But you know what happened 3 days after that, don't you? He was raised up from the dead in the power of God. Now, was he? Was he raised up from the dead? I suggest that you look into it. I've brought three DVDs here, okay? If you wouldn't consider yourself to be a believer in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, okay, I want to commend to you this DVD. It's called The Case for Christ, okay? And what this is, it's about a guy called Lee Strobel, who was a journalist in the States, and his wife becomes a Christian. And he feels like, well, instead of just loving me and me having being her only man, now there's me and there's Jesus. And I'm not sure I'm happy about that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to apply my journalistic expertise to disproving this Christian faith stuff. And then I'll have my wife back. So that's what he does. He sets about it to try and disprove the resurrection. Because a colleague at work says, if you want to put the Christian faith in the grave, disprove the resurrection. You know what happens? He becomes a Christian. So that's one way you can know that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. But you know, there's also another way. And I do hope that if you're, you know, if you feel like this is not truth, please pick up the DVD, but also do your own research. But here's another way, because how are you going to actually know, like deep down? You know, like how do you know your mum loves you? How do you know your spouse loves you? How do you know? Well, you've got experience, haven't you? You wake up in the morning, there they are. They're there. And they love you. You smell the coffee. You get the gifts at Christmas. You spend time together. So I would say this. Take a Bible. Look up the Gospel of Matthew. We had a reading from Matthew earlier on, didn't we? Read the Gospel of Matthew, but ask Jesus to make himself known to you. And I'd be very surprised. If you do that with a sincere heart and you make a sincere prayer to Jesus, would you show up in my life? I'm seeking you now. I'd be very surprised if come January 2020, you don't have a story to tell. It's an invitation this Christmas time. The permanent loving presence of God can be with you in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God who Jesus gives to all who ask. So ask. Perfect justice was achieved on the cross. You know, what happened to Jesus on the cross was that your sins were charged to his account when you put your trust in him. Your sins were charged to his account, punished in his body on that cross, so that you don't need to bear the punishment for your own sins in a place called hell. Nobody wants to go there. So come to Jesus. I'd love to talk to you afterwards if you want to know more, if you want to ask questions. I'd love to give you one of those DVDs. And we'd love to have you on a course that we run here from time to time called Christianity Explored, where we go through a gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and we just ask all our questions. All questions are allowed. And the person who runs that course normally is Richard. Richard's great at fielding questions from people who just, yeah, want to ask, want to know more. So a warm invitation to that kind of thing as well. God bless you all. Let's carry on with our worship service.